Reverend Adams is on study leave and then planning some holiday time, and I am pleased to welcome Alex Plant to our pulpit in his absence. Alex is no stranger to us here, having grown up in the church and was very involved in our youth programs. He is currently a theological student at the Presbyterian College in Montreal. Thank you, Alex, for leading our worship.
Good morning, and welcome to worship here at St. John's. Thank you, Cynthia, for the kind words of welcome. Just a few announcements before we begin today's service. With COVID-19 procedures in place, we are looking for some designated singers to sing some of the lyrics of the chosen hymns while others, like yourselves, follow the words on the screens. The singers could be a couple, a family, friends who share a bubble, or an individual. The singers will be provided with practice videos if they wish, and if you'd like to help in this important part of the service as we adjust to a new and hopefully temporary type of service, simply let us know and we'd be happy to set you up with a few microphones. Unfortunately, today we do not have any designated singers, but you will have the lovely honor of hearing Gary's wonderful musical talents on the organ this morning. I'd also like to remind you that our no-bake bake sale is still ongoing. We're more than halfway through. This is very thrilling as we get to enhance our technology to allow those not present with us to enjoy the service over the internet. So we please encourage you to consider continuing to donate as we continue to get the supplies and technology that we need. Let us take a moment to gather our thoughts into worship. We light the Christ candle as a sign of his presence here with us. Third time's the charm. Our call to worship will be on the screens before you. It is responsive, so please join me. We gather in the presence of God together. We gather in joy and hope. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And let us come together in the prayer of approach. Let us pray. Creator God, in you we live and move and have our being. You alone have been our help and guide through good times and bad. You alone give us the strength we need to face the challenges around us. You alone will be rest for our bodies and souls. To you we turn for wisdom. In your presence we find the peace and comfort we long for. Fill us with your spirit in this time of worship. Open our minds and hearts so that we may see you, we may love you, and follow in your ways. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. Before we continue the service, I had to remind myself that I will be taking a photo of us in the congregation for contact tracing purposes to make sure that we know who is here. And then we get to see all your bright, smiling faces. Please join me in our opening hymn, number 764. Kind of irrelevant because there are no hymn books. It's kind of hard to break a little bit of the traditional mold sometimes. But we'll be singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 6. If you're at home, then feel free to follow along with the words on the screen. It'll be hymn number 764, There's a Spirit in the Air. Let us come together in the prayer of confession. The words will be on the screens. Let us pray. Creator God, in you we live and move and have our being. You alone have been our help and guide through the good times, the bad. You alone give us the strength we need to face the challenges around us. You alone see and know our thoughts and our thoughtless actions. We sometimes ignore your wisdom. We do not always practice mercy and act with love. We are often anxious and do not trust in you. Forgive us of our failures. Amend who we are. And direct us to your loving will. This we pray in your most precious name. Amen. And now for the assurance of the pardon. Dear friends, remember that God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. He is kind and gracious to all. Know that your sins are forgiven in the grace of Jesus Christ. And remember to forgive those who have sinned against you. Amen. And now for the time with the young and the young at heart. Now, when I was writing today's message, I was trying to think for myself what would be a good way to introduce the message in a nice, simple way. And I'm jotting down notes taking things down as I go along. And I'm thinking to myself, why can't that be the children's time? So I'd like you to imagine your work, my school routine, for example, or your routine at home. There's a lot of things you have to do, a lot of things you have to kind of remember. You have to remember to do certain things, maybe in a particular order. You have to remember, oh, I have to go to the store tomorrow to get some supplies, or, oh, I have to go and work in the garden. You know, it's time to harvest some vegetables, anything like that, you know, right? And how do you remember these things? Sometimes it becomes routine, and so you don't have to really write things down. But sometimes, like myself, I have to write stuff down because I will forget a lot of stuff. I don't know if any of you can see what this is, but this is a pencil. It's quite a nifty little tool. If you have some paper, you can jot down little notes and place them wherever you like. But what's the problem with the pencil? Well, on the other end, it has this little thing called an eraser. And you can easily erase pencil marks off of paper, and then it's gone. All right, well, how about a pen? Pen might be a little bit more difficult to see with just the background, so here it is against the paper. Little pen. That's much more permanent. You can't really erase pen. You can try, but it'd be very difficult to do so. But then what happens to the piece of paper? Say you have your nice little note written down in paper, and all of a sudden, oops. Now it's in the recycle bin. Well, I have my phone. My phone can take all sorts of notes. It has a Google Assistant, so I can speak to it, tell it to remind me to do stuff, and I can type stuff out, I can videotape stuff, take pictures, it does all sorts of things. But oops, the battery ran out. What am I to do? Well, I'll charge it. Well, I don't have a charger with me. Don't know if there's any working outlets nearby where I'm standing, so I'm out of luck. I'm very fortunate that I have my sermon notes on my tablet, which is fully charged. So I won't have to worry about that running out in midway through the service. What about carving something? Well, that would be an interesting idea. Carve someone's name into a tree. I don't know how many young people carve each other's names into trees these days, but back in the day, as you may well know, people used to carve their names in trees, little hearts and arrows and all that sort of thing. But what happens if the tree grows old and needs to be cut down? I know that our church used to have a lot of trees in our front lawn, but we had to cut them down due to safety reasons or other concerns, and so that's out of luck. So what's left? Today's sermon is entitled Set in Stone. Stone is one of those immovable types of materials. It doesn't get moved around a lot. It doesn't change a lot over time. I know for those in the virtual world, you won't be able to see, but in the back of the sanctuary, we have these sort of stone memorials dedicated to ministers over our time. And their names are literally carved within the stone. And it's a little bit difficult to change. You can sort of work your way around it a little bit if you put a lot of effort into it, but if you left it out in the rain, it'd still be there in the morning. And so today we're going to be learning about the different ways in which we can remember stuff. And it's not that I'm encouraging everybody to go out and buy a bunch of rocks and carve stuff they need to remember, because that would take up a lot of room, it'd be kind of heavy and a little burdensome. But sometimes it is necessary to remember the important stuff, and today we're going to learn about why that's important. Let us come together for the prayer of understanding, followed by the readings of the scriptures. Let us pray. God of wisdom, as you listen to the scriptures, stir our hearts and minds with the Holy Spirit so that we may understand your desire for the world and resolve to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Reading from the New Testament. The first reading is from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that, he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring, and to your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. And a responsive psalm reading, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely.
You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast.
If I say, Surely the darkness shall come over me, and the light around me become night,
even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day.
For darkness is as light to you. And from the New Testament, Romans 8, verses 26 to 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And from Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 to 52. Just as the seeds were are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and accepting in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen. When I began researching some basic information about the setting for our Old Testament reading, Genesis 28, I encountered some difficulties in orienting myself around some of the biblical maps I had available to me. I'm reminded of the days before online maps, and we actually had to look around the map to find a place where we were going. It's like playing a game of Where's Waldo, trying to find the exact spot that we needed to go. There's a lot of names and labels, and you're able to finally find the place that you needed after it was a little bit too late. I can only imagine how thrilled people would have been if they had GPS in those days. But before I get into Jacob's time in Bethel, let me explain a little bit of the context behind the passage. Abraham's son Isaac called for his son Jacob and asked him to travel to Padan Aram, which is around northwest Mesopotamia, around northern modern-day Syria today, to meet with his grandfather Bethuel. Jacob was also instructed not to marry a Canaanite woman. Instead, he was to take a wife from among the daughters of Laban, who was his uncle. And Isaac then said to Jacob, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Now this kind of sounds a little familiar to another blessing that you might have heard earlier in Genesis. Specifically Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, which says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, both of these blessings sound familiar, and that is on purpose. For as Isaac is a descendant of Abraham, he too wished that his own descendant, Jacob, shared in that blessing. The blessing of many children and taking possession of the land which will become his to reside. And after being blessed by his father, Jacob sets off from Beersheba and sets out for his destination. The passage tells us that Jacob stops for the night because the sun was setting, and we presume he didn't wish to travel at night. It is not known if Jacob was traveling alone or with companions, and we don't even know the name of the place where Jacob stayed, at least not right away. All it tells us in the beginning is that it's a certain place. It's not very descriptive, but we'll learn a little more later. The scripture tells us that Jacob took one of the stones and put it under his head and went to sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but using a rock as a pillow doesn't sound very comfortable. But nevertheless, Jacob was able to fall asleep and had a dream. In his dream, Jacob sees something which differs depending on which translation of the Bible you use. I went through about 28 different translations of the Bible to see where people usually stood on this. 18 of them say that Jacob saw a ladder, just like the one that we've heard today. 9 of them say that he saw a stairway, a little bit nicer. And one, just one, said that he saw a raised highway, which we are pretty safe to assume that doesn't mean that God built the highway 401 from earth to heaven. Be a little convenient, nice, straight, narrow path, but for our purpose, let's imagine a ladder. Now, Jacob sees this ladder with the bottom resting on the earth and the top reaching up into heaven. And then Jacob sees God. And God says to Jacob, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south." And unfortunately, I always get my directions mixed up, so I'm pointing in different directions, but pretend it's north, west, east, south. You know which directions it is. "I am with you. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." And this echoes what Isaac wished for his son, that God would make the same promise that he made to Abraham unto Jacob. Jacob hears this and sees angels ascending and descending on the ladder between earth and heaven. He sees this hub of activity, angels traveling, and above it all, God stands, watching over everything. And he sees God speaking out and promising Jacob the same agreement that he gave to Abraham. Jacob then wakes up from his dream. And I'd like you to think about how you would feel if, when you wake up from a really powerful dream. You're going into a nice sleep, you remember having a big dream, and then all of a sudden you wake up. The dream is still fresh in your mind, but then after a while it starts to linger away, and then eventually it's gone. Oftentimes we'd like to remember every detail that we can from our dreams, especially if it was really entertaining or really thought-provoking. Some people use dream journals to write everything they can remember before it slips from their mind. But if you've ever experienced waking up in the middle of the night, you know how groggy you must feel and how it is difficult to do anything at 3 a.m, let alone writing in a journal. But Jacob was so amazed by that dream, he had said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not even aware of it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And not wanting to forget what he had seen, he had took the rock that he used as a pillow, and he set it up as a marker and poured oil on top of it. This is where we learn that the city that he was in was called Luz, but he renamed it Bethel, which translates to house of God. But why does Jacob use a stone to mark Bethel? Why not talk to the citizens of Luz to rename their town? Why not go to the temple and have its name changed? Why not write it down on a scroll or carve it into a tree? Well, it's because Jacob wanted something more permanent than a piece of parchment that could wither away with time or a tree that could be cut down, or public opinion that can change with new leadership. Jacob wanted a permanent reminder in that place, not only for his own sake, but for the sake of his descendants. God promised to give him the land that he was laying on. And what differentiated the spot where Jacob sat compared to others along his journey? I'm sure that a lot of these places don't have Eiffel Towers and Brandenburg Gates to differentiate architectural styles. And it is the stone. The stone that which Jacob laid his head and God spoke to him. Oil is poured on top of it, purifying it and signifying it is to be the reminder of Jacob's journey and of God's promise. But what does this mean for us? For some of us, it may be difficult to remember important things. With so much going on, with so much on our to-do list, we sometimes don't put our attention in the right places. Jacob was undergoing a massive trip, which would take weeks, if not months, to complete. If Jacob had not placed the stone at Bethel, there would be no identifying marker for him to remember where that place was. Like placing a bookmark in a book, Jacob ensured that he would remember the house of God. But sometimes we may feel overwhelmed and defeated because there is so much to remember. We are often bombarded by so much information that we don't know what to do with it, which is important and which can be set aside. In the gospel reading, Jesus teaches us that the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw the evil into the furnace of fire. I propose we do the same thing with the positive information being thrown at us. We must remember what is right and what is wrong. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. But the question remains, what is good and what is bad? Kind of seems like an obvious question, but when there are so many that claim what they say is true and everyone else is wrong, where do we go? We must acknowledge that we have weaknesses. We must remember that we have shortcomings. To do otherwise would be foolish and short-sighted. We must allow God to work within us. Romans 8, verses 26 to 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with and sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." We must allow that search within ourselves to find out what is right and what is good. And we have been given the greatest marker of all time. That marker is Jesus. Jesus is the stone upon which we shall remember our Bethel, our house of God. Let him be your stone, your bookmark, your reminder of what is good. Because nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us now take a moment in meditation to reflect upon the blessings that God has allowed us to share. If you are considering supporting St. John's through financial gifts, there are several ways to donate. We have links on our website, which will allow you to donate directly to St. John's, or you can also mail a check to the church address. Givings to the church don't only help the congregation here in Cornwall, but it also goes towards mission projects taken on by Presbyterian World Service and Development. Let us pause to learn about today's mission moment. Let us come together for the prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. God, who is full of kindness and love, hear our prayers for the world, for one another, and for ourselves. We pray for this congregation and for the church around the world, that we may be faithful and courageous in the face of all challenges that arise day by day. We pray for your mercy, your justice, your understanding, and your peace in relationships between nations, especially in this time of anxiety about the future. We pray that there will still be generosity for all in need. We pray for our leaders, for Her Majesty the Queen, Governor General Payette, Prime Minister Trudeau, Premier Ford, Mayor Clement, and all the civic leaders in our region. We pray for the Presbytery and the Synod as their moderators, clerks, and members seek ways to support each other and to support congregations with care and wisdom. May they all be inspired by your love and compassion as they work to serve your people across this country. We pray for those who work in fields and forests, in mines and offices, in hospitals, schools and shops, and for those who cannot find work. We seek your compassion for those who work will be fairly treated, and for those seeking work will not lose hope. We turn to you for all those in danger and need, for the sick and the dying, the poor and the oppressed, for those standing up against injustice, and for all still at risk from the current global pandemic. We seek your wisdom in this troubling time. Grant us your love and peace, we pray. And as we come to you, we are gathered together to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in our closing hymn, number 654, O God of Bethel, by whose hand? As you go forth from this place, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.